Father, we thank you for the good word of God. We open our hearts and minds to you. Thank you for the power of the gathered church. But Lord, I also thank you that you're not limited to a Sunday morning gathering. You are all day, every day, 24/7, power-packed relationship, love-filled relationship. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's take our Bible this morning. We haven't done our declarations in a while. Thank you. I was going to throw it, but since you moved, you could have caught it, honey. The anointing is strong. Let's say this together. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a child of my Father God. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I am filled with the Holy Spirit and power. Aren't you glad that God's no respecter of person? Acts chapter 10, verse 34. God is no respecter of person. And then in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus' evangelism style was not complicated. It was walk and live among humanity with a desire to do them good, to advance his Father's kingdom. So don't overcomplicate it. We're going to begin a brand new series this morning called Me, Myself, and I. And I wasn't sure, you know, when we released it and that it's about self-centeredness, if anybody would come. So thank you. Because anybody tells you they don't struggle with self or selfishness, they're lying. They're lying. You're going to struggle and battle self-centeredness until I knock you over the head and send you to heaven. Okay, then you won't struggle with it anymore. But this series, Me, Myself, and I'm sharing about the dangers of self-centeredness. The dangers of self-centeredness. It's a valid question for us to ask. Are we living every day Christ-centered? Are my responses to adversity, cut-downs, traffic jams, are they Christ-centered or self-centered? That's a valid question. Do we look every day and live every day through the eyes of the Spirit and the new creation man? Or do we live and respond and act out of the old man, who, as we talked about in the last series, has been trained by the world? So we want to renew our mind to who we are in Christ as a follower of Christ, a practitioner of him, a doer of his word. And if we're not careful, we can default the other way to self-centeredness. God's kingdom culture is a counterculture to the culture we live in this world. Okay? God's kingdom culture is a counterculture. So where the world around us promotes self-centeredness. Do you realize it says in Scripture a couple of times that you don't have to promote yourself, that God will do it for you. You humble yourself and he'll exalt you in due time. The culture of this world does not buy that. We're very much inundated with self-promotion. Not many people trust God to promote them. Well, that's a great statement there. So we are a living, breathing counterculture to the world. The Church of Jesus Christ shouldn't look and act like all the values of the world. We have to be retrained to the culture and the values of the kingdom of God. So where they're self-centered and promote self-centeredness, we promote Christ-centeredness. And we exude that. Where the world is selfish, we run in and we are selfless. Where the world is fearful, you seen any of that? We are faithful. This is who we are. It's the culture of the kingdom of God. If anybody knows not to be afraid of death, it should be the Church of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. You believe on me, you'll never see death. Why is everybody worried about death? If you believe in him, you won't see death. You'll just pass from this dimension to the next one. Amen. Well, it's true. It's true. Where the world is full of pride, we are those who are full of humility. This is our MO as people of the kingdom. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. I'm going to share out of the New King James and also the Passion Translation. But we learn the culture of the kingdom. Can I get a witness? Jesus is selfless. Okay, he was not self-centered, always promoting himself. And I love, you know, what's the series I've been watching? The Chosen. Two or three times in the Chosen series, he's healing somebody in parts one and part two. And people are like, you mean he healed you and he didn't seek his own honor? He didn't tell you to go tell the whole world, this guy's amazing, send him money. He didn't. He would heal him and say, don't tell anybody. Amen. Boy, we're kind of marinating. I'm just going to let that sit right there. So we learn selflessness from Jesus. Let's look at Philippians 2, verse 3 through 5. Let nothing, how much? Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. And you can go out and preach this to the world, but do me one better. Go model it. Lots of people have heard the gospel. Very few have seen it. So let's embody the word of Christ. Let nothing be done, nothing through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness or humility of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Wow. So this is one of the main passages the Lord gave us for 2020. Mentioned it a little bit in the goals series, the assignment 2020, but I'm telling you, this is the heart of the Lord. I want this word to be manifest in us. Look at the Passion Translation. Be free from pride-filled opinions. Boy, I'm helping marriages right now. Right? It's okay. Amen. As long as you're not elbowing them too hard, it's all right. Be free from pride-filled opinions. What do? Well, they harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Well, this is a good word of God. Amen? Amen. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. My goodness. Some of our arguments are just going out the window right now. And consider the example that Jesus, the anointed one, set before us. Let his mindset be your motivation. Oh, I like that. Let his mindset be your motivation. And here's a little asterisk for you, a little side note. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He uses the word joy or rejoice 17 times. He's in prison. Most of us, can I get a witness? If we're locked up and we're sending letters, it's going to be all about us. Well, the food's no good. My flat screen TV doesn't work. If they have them. If they have internet in prison? No? Okay. TV maybe. Yeah, they do now. Yeah, the food's no good. It's too cold. My room's too hot. Pray for me. I'm really struggling here. I need God to deliver me. 17 times he uses the word joy and rejoice. And then he even says that he's excited because so many are hearing the gospel. Paul was not concerned about himself. Amen. It wasn't about him. We can learn something from that. But here in Philippians 2, he's writing how Jesus is our example. Because he wasn't just concerned for his own interest. Jesus was concerned for the interest of others. And I can tell you this. Jesus Christ didn't come here because he needed something. He came here because you needed something. Now that is the epitome of selflessness. He didn't come here because he needed something. He didn't need all us to bow down and worship him. He came here because we needed something. And so he leads the way. He is the champion of selflessness. Self-centeredness is caring more about ourselves than we care about expressing Christ to somebody else. And I thought of this example. How many times have I said, hey, I'm hurt by what you said. What you did to me, that bothered me. Versus selflessness would say, I can tell that you're hurt. How can I help you? But we've been trained by the world. We've been trained by the flesh. Now we're signing up to be retrained. Amen. I like what Gretchen had mentioned this morning. You can be born again and not enlist as a disciple. But I'm telling you, I want to be a student, learner, practitioner, and apprentice of Jesus Christ. He's my everything. He's my everything. I love worship, but worship's about Him. That's why I love it. I love discipleship, but it's about knowing Him, and that's why I love it. I love the Scripture. John 5, 39 and 40, Jesus said, you pore over the Scripture, but you won't come to me. So I love the Scripture. Why? Because it brings me to Him. He's everything. If Christianity is going to be about one thing, this is it, guys. This is it. It's Christ. That's what it's all about. So I mentioned earlier, anyone who says that they've conquered self is lying or deceived. I would also say anyone who says, hey, I wish so-and-so was here. They really need to hear this. I'm talking to you. Now, here's a good disclaimer. There is an absolute area where you can think of yourself. So I encourage you, you might want to write this down so you can have a little reprieve. There is an area you can think of yourself. Are you ready? Your own personal relationship with Jesus. Because if you aren't self-caring, if you aren't self-feeding and staying abiding and connected to the vine, how are you going to help somebody else? You will just give out of your own flesh or whatever. We have to minister out of the abundance of Christ, the overflow of Christ that's within us. Out of that river of living water that's on the inside of us. So it's okay to make sure you're healthy and that you're feeding on Christ every day. Because if you're not, how are you going to intentionally invest in other people and help them? Are you living full every day? That's important. We need to live healthy, live full by what? Living connected to the vine every day. How about this? Resting in the Father's presence. One of the good things about COVID, if I can say that, is some things have definitely slowed down and allowed us more time to remember, ah, yes, be still and know that I'm God. And taking time to do that. Amen. So resting and getting away with the Father. How about walking out your obedience? That's a good thing. So assessing yourself and being self-aware. Hey, am I living full? Am I living connected? Am I walking out obedience? How about this? Am I being trained by the Holy Spirit? Am I feeding on the good word of God every day? Is myself being exalted or is it submitted? All four gospels record this statement from Jesus Christ. If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you'll give your life to me, you'll find it. You'll find life. There's life. There's something written into us, probably because we're made in the image of God, that we don't thrive in selfishness, self-assertion, self-exaltation, self-promotion. We thrive in self-giving and self-surrender. You have a self. Congratulations. Now, what should you do with it? You should surrender it. Should give it, give yourself to the one who loves you more than you do. How about this? Give yourself to the one who knows you better than you do. Oh my goodness. Don't you love it when the Lord asks you to be obedient? He asks you to partner with Him. Will you partner with me in this? And we say this, oh Lord, I can't do that. I'm too tall. I'm too short. I'm too unlearned. What if they laugh at me? What if they say something bad? You're selfish. You're self-centered. Everything you're saying is about you. We would care more about what people think about us than being obedient to the Lord. And number two, making sure that other person hears the message of Christ or sees it. Maybe he's not even asking you to say something. Maybe he's just asking you to help somebody. It's self-centered when we give God all the laundry list of reasons we can't do anything. So I'm admonishing you, don't live self-centered, live Christ-centered. He's your qualification. Do you realize when you stumble into sin and you refuse to get up because you're so bad and so unworthy, you're self-centered? You're self-centered. And you have forgotten that He made you right with God. So you got to be Christ-centered so you can get up and keep going. You're not thinking about people you can help. You're thinking about how bad you are. See, I've taught this for years. Pride doesn't always pull up in a limousine in a tuxedo and say, I'm incredible, I'm amazing, God deserves somebody like me. There are people like that. But pride dressed in rags It's still pride who says, I'm no good, I'm terrible, I'm awful, I can't do anything. God, that's right, it's still I, which is, pride is just self-centeredness instead of Christ-centeredness. I got a little ahead of myself. I'll come back to that. So you got time to slip out if you need to. So there's a place where we're submitted to the Lord. We're surrendered to Him. Jesus got away with the Father. He took time away, but He wasn't exalting Himself. He was just surrendering Himself, refiring, retooling with the Father. So that's what we need to do. We were in staff devotion this Tuesday. You all need to pray for the staff of this church. Because we're in staff devotion Tuesday, and it just hit us. You could sense it in the room. Yes, we need to do our responsibilities. Yes, we need to carry out our ministry tasks and our departments and all that. But what if the greater thing Jesus is interested in is that we're just growing each other in Christ? What if we're there to admonish each other in the Scripture? What if we're there to lift each other? What if we're there to connect together around Jesus? I think if we connect around the vine, the produce follows. Isn't that right? And we realize, and I even articulated, I told them, I said, the greatest thing we can do for this church body and for our departments is make sure that we're living connected to the vine and stirring each other in Christ towards godliness and a relationship with God. That's the greatest thing we can do as a staff. Well, how tragic would it be? We spend all week long just doing, when maybe the central thing that Jesus cares about is that we learn to grow each other in Christ and that we come together around knowing Him. We have a promise if we do, if we know Him. John 15, the command is abide. It's not produce fruit. Don't let anybody tell you that. The command is to abide. If you abide, you live connected to Him, you're going to bear much fruit. It'll happen. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:14, New King James. For the love of Christ compels or controls us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, and that's Jesus, then we all died. Everybody say, we all died. And He died for us all. Why? That those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again for them. The Passion Translation says, we should not live self-absorbed lives, but lives poured out for Him. So here's a great question. If I died when He died, why do I care so much what other people think about me? I'm not even here. I'm already seated in heavenly places. And yet we'll let the opinions of others, we'll let the, you know, the possible rejection or criticism of other people override us when we're supposed to be already dead in Christ. How does somebody get offended if you're dead? Why are we so easily offended? Because self is still here. Self-defending, self-promoting, self would rather be right than walk in a loving relationship with someone. Doesn't mean you don't speak the truth, but there's places we speak the truth in love to each other without rejection and pride and anger. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride comes strife and contention. I wish it said, sometimes pride causes contention. It says only. We get into self-preservation. How about Galatians 2:20? Look at this one. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. Christ lives in me. Did you see that? I'm not even here anymore. Why am I so concerned that I would forfeit my own convictions because somebody might reject me? Why do we do it? Self-centered. There's no condemnation for us, though. Amen? The Father loves us, so He's coaching us up in this. We're all predestined to be conformed to look like Jesus. Romans 8:29. So He says, it's no longer I live, Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. So, again, they show us the model here is Christ gave Himself up for each one of us. We've been crucified with Him, and yet every single one of us experienced the challenges of self-centeredness. Sometimes I think God likes to give us hormones, get us into marriage so He can kill us. So we can die to ourselves. Because marriage is a great place to learn how to die to yourself. Right? We're like, boy, she's good looking, Lord. Yeah, she really is, isn't she? Yeah, I think I want to marry her. And then you go to the altar to die. That's what's going to happen. It's coming. Every one of us experience challenges and self-centeredness every day. Listen, more than half the time, we think our righteousness is based on ourselves. If you didn't think it was based on you, you'd get up when you did a big piece of stupid. But when you wallow in it and you beat yourself up with it and you take the devil's job and condemn your own self, it's because you think your standing with God is based on you. And that's not true. It's based on Christ. We have to think more about what Jesus did for us than what we just did wrong. Well, amen. We have to think more about the people Jesus wants to help through us than what we did wrong. How about our qualifications to help somebody? How do I get qualified to, you know, invest Jesus in somebody? It's Him. And if you refuse to let God use you because you're no good or you're not qualified, you're self-centered. You're self-centered. Instead of Christ-centered. He is your qualification. He is the qualification to help somebody. All right, I like this question. Look at this. So what is your focus? Do you focus every day on your limitations or God's liberations? Because God has dibs on liberating people. Amen? The truth shall set you free. So He liberated you. You need to remember that. And then He has a desire to liberate other people. And so He'll call us to partner with Him and we'll balk at it. Do you know many people, many of us in this room, God's called to step out, step up, but our self-centeredness hinders us. But God's not asking for your ability. Nowhere in Scripture does God say, hey, I'm interested in what you're bringing to the table. How much money you got? What kind of giftings do you have? Because, you know, I really need to know if I can use you or not. He never asked what you're bringing to the table. 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord roam the whole earth looking to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are willing and loyal to Him. And you may say, well, Lord, my lack of ability scares me. You know what He says? There's no limit to my ability through you. We say, my lack of ability scares me, Lord. I don't think I can do it. He says, I'm not here for your ability. I want to put my ability in and through you. Amen. Let's go to Exodus 4, verse 1. This is New Living Translation. But Moses protested. God's like, Moses, I want to use you. We're going to partner together. We're going to change the world, brother. And he says, nope. What if they don't believe me? What if they don't listen to me? Or dare they say, the Lord never said any of this to you, Moses. What's he being? Self-centered. His view is his own self and his own limitations. So then, verse 2 through 9, God uses a couple of miracles to get his attention. Throw the staff down, it becomes a serpent. He's like, wow, incredible. And then put your hand in your coat, comes out leprous, put it back in, it's healed. So now he's on board, right? He's seeing two outstanding miracles. Wrong. Verse 10. But Moses pleaded with the Lord. This is after these two things. I'm not very good with words. I have never been. I am not now. Even though you have spoken to me, I get tongue-tied. My words get tangled. What is that, 5, 6 times? In one verse, he's talking about himself. How did we ever get tricked into thinking God was interested in what your talents are? There's a good chance He chose you to use you because He knows you need His help. And He doesn't want you leaning on your own understanding and your own talent. Oh, amen. This is after two miracles. And it's good to laugh at Moses. We need to, but can we be honest? We do the same thing. He gave you the Holy Ghost. You got the Scriptures. You got the blood. I mean, you got the new covenant. We're like, oh, I can't do it. Can't do it. Self-centered. It's our default. We just default to ourselves. Verse 11, then the Lord asked Moses, well, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or don't? People hear or don't hear? See or don't see? Is it not me, Moses? Am I not going to handle it? And look, he's on his way to meet you now. He'll be delighted to see you. Talking about Aaron. I'm going to give you a helper here. And he's still doubting it. So what is that? Pride dressed in rags. Pride dressed in rags. You know, God's anger burned towards Moses. Here's verse 12. I'll be with you. Now go, please. And I'll instruct you in what to say. But Moses again pleaded, Lord, please send anyone else. My goodness. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said. What about your brother Aaron the Levite? Oh, there it is. I know he speaks well. That's what I was alluding to, is Aaron. So God's anger isn't kindled because Moses didn't think Moses could do it. God's anger is kindled because Moses didn't think God could do it. God is not asking Moses to do this without him. Are you tracking with me? And I'm telling you, there isn't anything he's asking any of us to do apart from him. John 15:5. Abide in me, right? You'll bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So when we talk and talk and talk about living connected to the vine, that's what abiding is. It's a 24/7 relationship. I'm going to live connected to the vine. I'm not going to do anything apart from him. And when he asks you, even the nicest thing, would you buy a cup of coffee for that person? Just let him know I'm thinking about them. Whatever he's asking, he's going to do it with you. Amen. We'll give God our own list of excuses as well, whether it's I don't speak well or people won't like what I have to say. And we don't obey God because we think it's all about us. And so many of you know this story. I was in college at Northeastern State University, and I'm in speech 2 class, and you had to hold the poster board. You had to have a visual with your speech. So I'm holding it, and I'm so nervous it's shaking. And all I can think about is, can they see this board vibrating violently? Number 2, can they hear the terrible noise it's making? That's all I could think about. And that was in front of about 20 people, church. And pride would have said, listen to me, Lord, you can't use me to deliver the gospel of the kingdom because I can't even stand in front of 20 people. And are you ready for this? And I know me better than you do. That is nothing short of arrogant. Thank God I didn't do that. I just said, Lord, if you're going to use me, it's going to have to be you because I live with me. Look at this statement right here. This is good stuff. If I can get it to come up. Did it come up? I had to learn that there are things more important than me. Amen. I had to learn there's more important things than Steve and how I'm perceived by other people. Amen. It's not about whether I look good. It's not whether people hear it. That doesn't matter. I need to be obedient. I need to think less about me and how I'm perceived and more about God's liberation ideas. Amen. That's the truth. People are hearing the truth. That's what matters. People are encountering Jesus. That's what matters. I can't change anybody anyway. It's only him. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 4-8, and write this down. I want you to have this. Don't let a deceptive view of yourself keep you from partnering with Jesus. Don't let a deceptive view of yourself keep you from partnering with Jesus. Here's Jeremiah 1, verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. And then said I, thank you, Lord, I'm ready. No, that's not what he said. Ah, Lord God, behold, I can't speak. I'm too young. Yeah, self-centered. Verse 7. But the Lord said to me, don't say, I'm a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you. Whatever I command you, you'll speak. Don't be afraid of their faces. I love that one. How many of you know fear of men's faces, Proverbs 29:25, is a snare? Don't be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. The Lord wants to deliver you from those he sends you to. This is what he did. He told the Apostle Paul at his conversion, I'm going to deliver you from everyone I send you to, because if you need them, you won't lead them. Amen? So he delivers us from what other people think. Our heart is, I'm more interested in being obedient, and if I'm a fool for Jesus, so be it. I've lost myself. I've forfeited myself. I'm not going to worry about what self looks like. Amen. So verse 8, where it says, don't fear their faces. When we fear what other people think, we are being self-centered. When we seek honor from men and not from God, John 5:44. When we seek honor and approval from men and not from God, we're being self-centered. When we care more about how we're going to look or be perceived, we're being self-centered. And it's death. There's no life in it. How about some other fears? Fear of being rejected. Fear of criticism. All rooted in self-centeredness. How about this statement? We must care more about those we are ministering to than ourselves. Is this helping anybody? One of my real struggles as an adult has been people-pleasing. I like people to be happy. I like everybody to get along. If we have a team, I want everybody on the team to love each other fully. No hiccups, no strife, no schism. Not very often. And I'm going to be completely honest with you. There's times in my adult life I have forfeited my own convictions in the name of getting along with somebody. Maybe it's because I was the youngest of four boys and I learned very well, if I'm going to be accepted, I've got to learn to get along in certain environments. My next to oldest brother wasn't so much of a change, right? I kind of hang out with some of his friends. My other brother, who was 6 years older than him, it was a change. But I learned to almost be a chameleon so I could fit in. And I'm here to tell you, there's no life in forfeiting your own convictions because of fear of what somebody else may think. And the Lord told me on May the 11th of this year, he said, Steve, you're your own biggest idol. And he said, because God forbid someone disagree with you. How about this? Number two, God forbid you miss it one time. So how about you at least stand with conviction the things that I put in your heart? Because you're the only Steve Eden I have on this planet, and I need you to stand in who you are in me. Somebody give him praise in the house of God. Amen. I would people please in order to avoid conflict, and I would do it because I was self-centered, and I would care more, again, to my own shame. And I know there's no shame from Christ, but I'm just being totally honest with you. I would forfeit convictions I had, and maybe I'm not talking about, you know, Jesus is the Son of God. I'm not talking about that, but ways of doing something. Maybe even here at Grace Church, my opinion about how things should go in a certain area and not say it in the name of just getting along, or somebody, God forbid, criticize me if my opinion was different than theirs. Well, I'm here to tell you, no more in the name of Jesus. I like this one. If you think you are more than who God says you are, you're self-centered. But if you think you're less than who God says you are, you're self-centered. Humility, oh, I'm coming with it, brother. I'm coming. Robert said, the truest thing about you is what God says about you. And that is the truth. That's where you need to land. And if he says you're righteous and you're accepted in the beloved, amen, and he says you're holy as I am holy, then that is who you are. God cannot lie. How about this one? Humility is agreeing with God. The most humble thing you can do is agree with who he says you are. And when he comes to Moses and says, hey, you're a deliverer, here's what we're going to do, the most humble thing Moses could have done. It was not humility when he gave God 17 reasons that he had the wrong guy. That was pride and self-centeredness. The most humble thing Moses could have done is said, be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. That's exactly what Mary said. That's the most humble thing you can do. How about this? A truly selfless person won't go beyond who God says they are, but nor will they go below who God says they are. We have got to allow the Holy Spirit to work true humility into our hearts. And here's the balance of it. If I am made righteous in Christ and I'm holy in Christ, I'm not going to go tell the world how awesome I am. I'm going to tell them how awesome He is. That if He's willing to do it for me, He'll do it for you. Because again, I live with Steve. I'm well aware if my righteousness is self-based, I don't have a shot in the world. But because it's Christ-based, because I am who I am by the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 15:10, then you can be a new creation as well. That's why when we started this morning, we're talking about living out of the new creation man. Are our eyes Christ-centered and coming out of the new creation man? And we realized at the end of this last series, you can be a born-again Christian and still be allowing yourself to be trained by the world. You've got to come out from that culture. And I don't mean just go get in a farm and live on a compound somewhere, even though I've thought about that many times. You're in the world, just not of the world. Amen. Don't ag me on that compound idea. I heard you amen. Don't do that. Humility says, I'm everything God says I am. And if He says I'm a deliverer, or if He says He wants to use me to speak to the gentleman at the cubicle at work, then who am I to say no? And I want to get to a place personally where I care more about being obedient to the Master, Lord Jesus Christ, the inner workings of the Holy Spirit, than I care what people think about me. Amen. And it's not, and I've got some things to stand on. Again, that's a true story. When I was in college, I was mortified to get up and talk in front of 20 people. But what happened to me? Well, I'm possessed. I'm possessed by the Spirit of Christ to communicate truth. And I can't, I've embraced my call. And when I stepped out of the boat, there He was. There's the grace of God to perform what He was asking us to do. He never asked Steve to go do this by himself. Steve wouldn't even want to do it by himself. Jeremy, you guys can come. I want to give you this one as well, Church Jeremiah. Because it's a good thing to say, okay, every day is my view and my responses, am I living self-centered or am I living Christ-centered? Look at Jeremiah 1:9. The Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth and said to me, behold, I've put my words in your mouth. So this is the continuation of what we were reading earlier. See, I have this day set you over nations and over kingdoms. Look at this call. You're going to root out and pull down and destroy and throw down. And then you're going to build and plant. After you tear it all down, you're going to build and plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? Everybody say, what do you see? Look at this question. This is so powerful. He asked him, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. The Lord said to me, you have seen well, or literally you've seen correctly. So now I'm ready to perform my word. He didn't say, Jeremiah, have you been to seminary? Jeremiah, have you memorized the entire Bible? Jeremiah, are you a great speaker? He said, Jeremiah, can you see what I see? If you can have my perspective, if you can walk in oneness with me, I'll perform my word. The criteria is simply, are you aligned with Him? That's the criteria. Are you aligned with Christ? Is His view your view? Is it a self-centered view or is it a Christ-centered view? Amen? Stand with me. Stand with me. Suffer the little children to come to me. I don't need to ask for a show of hands this morning as far as who would like prayer regarding self-centeredness? I know the answer. Do you realize too, in church gatherings, when invitations are given and people get what? Fearful about even asking for prayer. What? Self-centered. We're just so trained in it. I want to pray for us that we shift, and it's an ongoing thing, ongoing retraining. We've got to be retrained by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Master, Jesus Christ. We've been trained by the world for a long time, but we're not of the world. We belong to the culture of the kingdom of God. It's a counterculture to the world we live in. So will you just open your hands with me? Let me pray for you. Father, as you've been doing for me the last month, just speaking to me about my own self-centeredness, my own fears, my self-protection, my fear of criticism or rejection. Father, as you've done with me and are doing, I ask for the same grace upon each and every one in their area of need. They know what it is. They know what it is. But I ask for a shift by the power of the Holy Spirit this morning, a shift that comes to our thinking, to our heart posture, Lord, and ultimately to even our behavior and our attitudes, that we're not going to live self-centered. It's not about me, but we're going to live Christ-centered, fully surrendered to you. And I also pray, Holy Spirit, remind them each and every day that self-care is an okay thing. Where am I at in my health with Christ? Where am I at, you know, living connected to the vine? I also pray, Lord, remind them of that. And let us see what you see every day. Not just in ourselves, but in those you ask us to invest in. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give God praise this morning. He's a good God. If you need prayer, stick around. We will pray with you here in the altars. Otherwise, you are dismissed. Let's go be light and salt. Good to see everybody.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.